He is almost beautiful, running with the San Gabriels over one shoulder, the rise of the Hollywood Freeway as it arcs above the Pasadena Freeway over the other. He is shirtless, the hint of swimmer's muscle rippling below his tanned skin, his arms pumping a 1-2 rhythm in sync with the beat of his feet. There is a chance you envy him. 7 a.m., and traffic is already jammed through downtown, ground to a standstill as cars attempt to cross 5 lanes, moving in increments so small their progress is nearly invisible. They merge in jerks and starts from the Pasadena Freeway onto the Hollywood or the Santa Ana. But he is flowing freely, reverse commuting through the stalled vehicles. The drivers watch from behind their steering wheels, distracted from toggling between radio stations, fixing their makeup in the rear view, talking to friends back east for whom the day is fully formed. They left home early, hoping to avoid the bumper-to-bumper, the inevitable slowdown of their mornings. They've mastered their mathematical calculations, the distance times rate times time of the trip to work. Yet they are stuck. In this city of drivers, he is a rebuke. He runs unburdened by the hundreds of sacrifices these commuters have made to arrive at this traffic jam on time, the breakfast missed, the children unseen, the husband abandoned in bed, the night cut short on account of the early morning, the weak gas station coffee, the unpleasant carpool, the sleep lost, the hasty shower, last night's clothes, last night's makeup. He ignores the commuters sealed off in their climate-controlled cars, trapped in the first news cycle and the wheel of Top 40. He holds a straight line through the morning's small desperations, the problems waiting to unfold, the desire to be elsewhere, to be anywhere but here today and tomorrow, and all the mornings that run together into one city-wide tangle of freeways and on-ramp closures and sig alerts, a whole day narrowed to the stop and go. His expression is mid-marathon serene, focused on the goal and not yet overwhelmed by the distance. He shows no strain, but the woman in the battered soft-top convertible will say he looked drugged. The man in a souped-up hatchback claims he was crazy high, totally loco, you know what I mean. A couple of teenage girls driving an SUV way beyond their pay grade insist that, although they barely noticed him, he looked like a superhero, but not one of the cool ones. The day is an indeterminate, weatherless gray. The sun is just another thing delayed this morning. Beneath the 10, the air over the bungalows of West Adams and Pico Union is a dull, apocalyptic color. The color of bad things, or their aftermath. The other city, the remembered and imagined one, stretches west, past the sprawling ethnic neighborhoods, where Koreans overlap with El Salvadorans and Armenians back into ties. It begins on the big-name crosstown boulevards, lined with deco theaters, faded tropical motels, restaurants with sentinel valets, and ends where the streets run into the ocean. But in this trench where the 110 sinks through downtown, that place is barely a memory. Here there is only the jam of the cars and the blank faces of the glass towers. The runner is on pace for an 8-minute mile, or so it seems, to the man behind the wheel of his SUV, who woke up late and didn't have time for his own jog. He missed his pre-dawn tour of Beverly Wood, the empty silence of the residential neighborhood when he visits other people's cul-de-sacs, peering into the living rooms of dark houses as his pedometer records his footsteps, marking calories and distance until the morning's ritual is complete. He wonders what went unseen, coyotes slinking home before sunup, a car haphazardly left in the driveway after one too many, a man sleeping in the blue glare of his TV, a teenager sneaking through her back gate, liquor bottles shoved into bags and left at someone else's curb.